So just sitting for a minute or so, reflecting on the immeasurable nature of this life. Getting a sense of that which is greater than just us. That which is bigger and more vast. So you are now familiar with the inquiry process and the form. Again, listening inwardly with great sensitivity to all the reactions that you have, seeing all the places that your heart is touched, seeing perhaps a tendency to judge sometimes. So being with your experience, but of course, listening outwardly to what is being said. And sometimes in inquiry, things might be discussed that you don't even understand logically. Someone might report an experience that you think is barely even possible, or it sounds like something that's not familiar to you. Yet somehow, if we listen, we can understand in a different way. So it's really profound listening that's being asked of us. And then we can come very deeply to the depth of the Dharma. So firstly, tonight, if you have an experience that you would like to report, you may have also a question about it. Oh. We could go on for hours here. Okay, who has not been up before for an inquiry? Okay, yes, please. Welcome.
Hi. Hey.
Okay.
I told you when we met about the grief I'm dealing with. And for the first days here I was very tired.
Yes.
And afterwards, I was very sad most of the days.
Yes.
And it really confused me, and I was totally inside it. But I kept practicing, even though I didn't hate faith for some times, and
well done.
I kept trying really hard, but the sorrow wrapped everything.
Yes,
and it came for no reasons sometimes.
Yes, so sorrow can come upon us for no reason. And sometimes the sense of I can be, just as you said, really wrapped in sorrow. And this is quite difficult to bear, but you stayed with it. Keep going.
And yesterday, Shira came here.
Yes.
And talked about her sorrow.
Yes.
And just before that, I wrote you a note that I wanted to speak with you.
Yes.
And after she spoke, I felt a big relief.
Yes.
And I went out and I wrote you that and I'm fine now.
And I thought, well, that was easy.
But it makes me wonder.
Yes.
I thought maybe because you confirmed that it's okay to be in deep sorrow and to know it and to walk in it, then that's the what makes me feel relief. But I thought maybe also the fact that someone else is also sad.
Yes.
I was in a sangha of people that's dealing with death of their loved ones.
Yes.
And there was two things. First, they told the story about a woman that her son died.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked for the Buddha Nechama.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort. And he told her, go to the houses around and pick seeds from a house that didn't know sorrow or grief.
Mm.
And that's where her comfort came from.
Because she discovered that there was no house anywhere.
But this is... It's... I don't know, it's...
So sadness is a very natural part of life. Yet if sadness is all we see, we're not seeing clearly the totality.
But why the reason that another person feels sad as me can make me feel better?
Oh, why do you think? Why do you think?
I tried to figure it out.
Yes?
Before.
Any clues?
First, that I'm not alone.
Yes, of course.
But then it means that I'm really connected to my I if I don't, if the alone is so scary.
Okay, stop there. If you're not alone, what are you?
I'm with everybody. So I would think that if I'll see someone else happy, it will help me with my sorrow if everyone are I.
Yes.
But it was the opposite. I saw sorrow and it made me feel relief.
Yes. The directions in the Dharma are to comprehend our sorrow, to understand our sorrow, understand our suffering. And if we're feeling so wrapped up in it and alone, we won't see it clearly. But when we realize that sorrow is the condition of living, that there's always sorrow, we hear another person speak about sorrow. And then, of course, we sense our connection to everyone else, that our sorrow is part of this life of ours that we live. But Shiona did not only talk about sorrow, did she? When she was up here.
Right.
Ah.
But I was very, very sad those days.
Yes.
And in big waves.
Yes.
And it didn't finish there.
Okay. Then what happened? So you were very sad, you saw her, you felt okay. So sometimes our Dharma path is one of being with sorrow. Many people come to practice because of sorrow, because the sorrow is so painful to bear. Dukkha means that which is difficult to bear, that which we can't bear. Okay. Did you hear anything else in what was said in that inquiry that touched you?
The strength to be there.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
And the option to see beautiful things and
the option to see beyond the sorrow. So, let's come to you now. What do you know about being alive? You know there's sorrow. What else do you know?
I know good things.
Yes, tell us.
I'm a happy person.
Yes. So you know that your heart can contain some other feelings as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are they? Tell me.
Love.
Yes.
Adventure.
Yes.
Togetherness.
Yes. Okay, so there's love, adventure, togetherness, and sorrow, and loss. Okay? When you really feel love, what do you experience? Can you give me an example of feeling really deep love?
Yes.
Please tell us. She's suddenly all shy. Please tell us an example of deep love.
To get back home to my partner at yes. the end of the day.
Yes. Yes.
And to just sit and to feel.
To love and be loved. It's a precious experience. In the very moment of really loving, as you just sit together with your partner at the end of the day, what do you know? What do you deeply know?
I think about the meta things.
Yes. Say more.
And I really felt it strong yesterday when Alaya suggested to say, I am, and not I wish to.
Yes.
And I could say that.
I am love? Or just I am?
I love. I know I love and I've been loved.
Yes.
And I protected, I feel protected and yes. I hope I can give this feeling to others.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So when you are there with love, when you are love, you say, I am love. And the love is both received and given. Does it seem that it's just yours? Or does it seem that it's bigger than you?
Sometimes it's weird, but sometimes I say that I can die in this moment. Because yeah. everything is in place.
Exactly. Know. So in this moment, we die to ourselves. We die to the past. We die to everything that we have ever known. And there's just love. And this love includes you. And who else?
everyone.
Yes.
And everything. And also the things that was.
Yes.
And the things that will be.
The things that were. The person you loved so dearly, who's no longer with you. Everything that ever was, and everything that will be. This is love that's timeless, selfless, and unstoppable. Yes. In the middle here, I think there was one. Did you have your hand up before? No. Yeah? No? Okay. You were up before. Oh, okay. Okay, we'll take somebody from this side. Okay, come. Yeah. It's so hard. I can't choose. It's impossible. And then you... Hello.
My name is Shai.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, it's complicated. I'm sorry.
But, we'll sort him out.
Yeah. But,
yes, go on.
It's wonderful that you spoke right now because it really connected to some of the things I've been, some of the feelings I've been having this past week.
Yes.
And at the beginning of the week, every time I did the meditation, I thought I was going mad.
Okay.
A lot of thoughts and feelings coming together. I kept feeling that I can deal with one thought coming at a time, but 70 at the same time was too much.
But we have 70,000 a day.
Yeah. And I started having thoughts about a friend I lost.
Yes.
In the last year. And at the beginning, I tried to understand my feelings towards it. First of all, I was angry at myself. And angry at her.
Mm-hmm.
She put an end to her life.
Yes.
And at the beginning, there was a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of anger. And then there was anger at myself.
Yes.
For feeling that.
Okay. So our anger covers grief, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
And then every time I meditate and thought about sending her compassion.
Yes.
I experienced her pain.
Okay.
I experienced her pain in her last moments.
Oh, this is difficult.
Yeah. And I could feel it.
Okay.
And every time I had, it was too much, I had to open my eyes.
Yes.
And stop it.
Yes, this is a fine thing to do.
And I thought about how she identified so much with that pain that she couldn't see any other way.
Yes. The taking of one's life is to end the suffering.
Yeah.
But of course there are many other ways to end the suffering.
Yeah.
But in that very moment she was unable to see it.
No.
Okay.
And I kept hearing the words that she wrote in her letter.
Yes.
About not being able to bear the pain anymore.
Oh.
And I felt it so much.
Yes. So when you felt it so much, did you have a compassionate response?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. So this is where to rest, in the compassion of your heart for her suffering.
Yes.
The anger at oneself is often, we often blame ourselves and think, well, could I have done anything?
Yeah. I had that feeling today.
Yes. Okay. And did you see that at that moment you were unable to do anything?
I tried to think about it a lot.
Mm.
About how I could have listened differently.
Yes.
And understand the things that she maybe tried to say.
Yes.
I'm not alone there. I know that. And
of course.
Nobody expected it.
Yes.
And but I've been having our last conversations together.
Yes. Okay.
Trying to see something.
Yes. So we look and we see, is there something that I missed? Is there something that I could have done differently? Yet this is to look with the self view, isn't it?
Yeah.
So with these things, we have to look with the heart of compassion. Not only for her and her suffering and her inability to see, but also for yourself. And if you knew that something was possible or you had expected this to happen, of course you would have done something, but you didn't know. You couldn't know. So compassion goes outwardly to her and inwardly to you. These events, as harsh as they are and difficult as they are and difficult for those of us left behind, are the result not only of a single conversation, but they're actually the result of many, many factors and conditions and causes throughout the person's life. And a wise response of the heart is just as you said, the heart of compassion. Feeling an enormous love for her. And also enormous love, because when we feel compassion, it includes everybody, including you. It's not just compassion for everybody else. It also includes your own heart. And had you known, you would have done something. But you didn't. So you couldn't. And so we have to look beyond the I thought. We have to see that which is greater. And then we start to touch into a love that is still here. The love for her is still with you, isn't it? Death doesn't touch it. The love is here. The love is unchanged. Rest there. And I think there's quite a number of people in this hall who feel for you right now and also can understand your situation. Would you just look at them? And just take in a bit of their love, their compassion for your difficulties. Do you ever get a sense that there is something that can never be lost?
I try to think like that a lot.
Okay. There's the error. You try to think like that a lot, okay? It's a deep knowing. Okay, I ask you again.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a sense of a deep knowing of something that cannot be lost?
Yes.
Okay, please tell us about it. The symphony.
Deep understanding of something that can never be lost.
Yes.
I think I'll never lose my love to the people in my life. To my wife.
Yes. Beautiful.
I adore my wife. I adore. really. I can never lose that. Okay. Never.
How good is this?
Yeah, but it's true.
Okay.
I think that is like my deepest knowledge.
Okay. So this is a love that cannot be lost.
No.
This is a love that is unending. So whenever your heart is burdened, whenever your heart is sore, whenever you feel very raw, come back to this love that can never be lost, that is unending. Thank you so much. Sitting quietly for a few minutes. Yes, come, please, finally.
Somewhat guilty about what I'm bringing, but that's the story of my life. After there's things and the way that it's expanding my heart to listen to them, but my question is somewhat philosophical, but it's not. It's really something that I need to figure out, to try to concrete my root in this way of Buddhism or love or freedom.
Yes.
Well, I have to justify it for a second, so bear with me. Well, I know that God is not the story of Buddhism. It's out there, but it's not the thing, which I love. I don't believe in God that punishes and judges and...
Me either.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
But anyway, I know that there is a plan. I know that Buddha said that suffering is here to help us wake up. I'm right until now, because I can go down and give my place to somebody else.
I'm not sure he put it in that.
Okay, that's
those terms.
Okay,
he said in life there is suffering.
Right.
And what we need to do is comprehend or understand our suffering.
Right.
And then, of course, there are factors that keep our suffering in place. There are causes and conditions that keep it in place.
Right.
And there's release from that.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry to think I'm wrong. that there's a source of some sort of all the things that...
There's a source of suffering, yes.
Oh, I mean the source of everything. We call it God, or source, or the divine, or... Is there? Got you there, huh?
Okay,
let's say there is. So... I don't mean to make you laugh, I'm just...
Okay.
I thought, when I study a little bit, and I thought that that's the thing, so maybe I studied different Buddhism, I don't know.
Yeah. So, when we see the emptiness of all things and the emptiness of self, in the teachings there is no essence. There is actually no source of all things in the way that you're meaning, I think. There is the source of suffering, and the source of suffering is clinging.
Okay.
But philosophically,
mm-hmm.
in the teachings, there is not something behind the emptiness. The emptiness is also empty.
Mm.
And there's not a source that emptiness comes from and returns to, or everything comes from and returns to. This is more a Hindu or Vedanta way of looking at things, that we are all the expression of a divine
mm-hmm.
source.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Dharma, this is not the view. In fact, it's to cling to no view about these things. The Buddha was concerned with that which we can directly understand, rather than with any speculative questions. So questions like, is there a God, or is there a source of all things, he regarded as speculative.
Mm-hmm.
And while he may have known the answer to that or mm-hmm. not, he considered it irrelevant because it wasn't relevant to the cessation of suffering.
Mm-hmm. I like him even more.
Yeah. So basically, we, in our Dharma practice, we directly experience that which can be known. We see that there is suffering. There's contributing factors. Events arise because of causes and conditions. And then there's the cessation of suffering. This is the key thing. The ending of the suffering. There is liberation. There is freedom from that which is difficult to bear. And we don't find the freedom when we entangle ourselves in the philosophical questions that are speculative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what's your response?
I wanted to fight some, you know, but you didn't give me the friend.
I've noticed that.
No, not really. Not really. I'm just kidding. That's what I thought, that they say there is a source to everything, and if there is a source, there is a plan.
Yes.
And if there's a plan, what kind of plan is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I
let's
agree.
Make everybody suffer, and then maybe once every 2,600 years, somebody will get lightened, suffering. And you know, the plan is there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. That's what I needed.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Sure. Ding me. Please.
here to stay.
I wrote a poem if you have.
Oh, please, the poem.
No, no, it's really long.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. No, yes, come.
I just want to ask if you would tell us a bit about how to do a self-inquiry. You said maybe you would...
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, is there someone at the back here? Yes.
Me?
Yes. Hello.
Wow, I can't see from far. It's the first time I really see you.
Yeah. Well, you've been hiding at the back there.
Yeah, it was nice, like, feeling a bit outside, looking
okay.
at everyone.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I know everyone really good, but you don't know me, guys. So, it's a bit strange being on the stage now.
So she's been checking you out all week.
Yeah. I have nicknames for most of you. Yeah, I am. I've been feeling quite lonely, actually. Like, I thought it's gonna be strange. I'd rather speak without a mic.
Can you everybody hear?
I'll try speaking louder. Anyway, I thought like I'll come here and I'll be silent and it's so easy. I'm used to like spending time on my own and I have no problem not talking. But actually I've been feeling a bit lonely. And like everyone's so serious. And like I've been trying to steal smiles. And like with the guys it's impossible. Guys are much more serious.
You really have had a busy retreat. So do you actually have a question?
I actually wasn't planning on like asking something. I've been thinking about stuff and feeling stuff, but like I was comfortable doing it on my own. But like I had those thoughts through the day about emptiness.
Yes.
And like and through this week and like looking like at nature, the trees and the leaves and plants and birds and like seeing like everything's empty and awake in some way. Like I felt it especially at night, like going around and like seeing all the like the grass, you can see it's like so awake at night. And yeah. And then today I saw this, the tavas, the peacock,
oh.
Yeah, and he was very empty and very awake. He was looking like I knew he had, like, he was empty, but he was like very alert,
yes.
Looking around, yeah, and listening to every voice. But I felt like there's a difference between us, like I didn't feel I'm empty, in the way the peacock is, or the grass is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and now when you were speaking about the emptiness,
yes.
So I was like thinking, wondering again, like, how come everything could be empty if, like, everything's full of love and joy and compassion? So
yes.
How could it still be empty?
So the emptiness being referred to is the emptiness of self-existence. The emptiness of the things of the world and the people of the world, we do not have intrinsic self-existence. We exist dependent upon causes and conditions, and there are many contributing factors in the birth of this body here. Birth of this body. This one, this one.
I'm empty as an individual, as
yes.
a person, but like...
Okay. Empty doesn't mean vacuous or the absence of anything. It means precisely, it's a precise word that's used, shunyata.
Shunyata.
Yeah, or shunya, emptiness. So, what do you understand by the emptiness of self from all of the things we've talked about over the days?
I understand from what you're saying now that, like, I'm empty as me, as
yes.
I.
Yes.
Yeah, and, like, I get filled by things around me.
Mm.
But yet, like, there are things around me that are filling me, right? So they're not empty.
Emptiness does not mean the absence of. This is a very difficult concept to understand. And in a way, the word emptiness isn't quite appropriate because we associate emptiness with the absence of something. Okay. You understand the emptiness of self, that the self is elusive and shifting and changing and unreliable and has no substantiality. Got
yes.
that?
Yes, I can understand that.
Okay. You looked outside, you saw the emptiness of the grass, the peacock, all things. What then?
So where's, like, love coming from?
Ah, okay. When you saw the peacock and you saw the emptiness of the peacock, what was your response?
I was a bit jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because?
Because I felt it, like, really alive
in
some way. I'm not.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. So the sense of I is landing in your world of thought and saying, I'm not as alive as the peacock. Why not?
Actually, I was also jealous because I was thinking, like, he doesn't have to go to work next week.
Okay.
No, like, yeah. Like, it's empty of all those thoughts of, like, how I should live my life.
Mm-hmm.
How,
so empty of any kind
of...
How
do I need to make a living?
Empty of that external pressure with which we burden the mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so let that one go. So you're there. There's you. And the peacock, or you and everybody here. You let go of all pressure. You let go of all thoughts about next week. You be attentive, present, with your direct experience. And what do you know? What's revealed to you?
Emptiness.
Yes. Say more about what you understand about emptiness.
I have moments of emptiness.
Yes.
Like, I have, yeah.
You have moments of the knowing. And when there's that deep knowing, how is that expressed?
Everything feels very open.
Yes. beautiful.
Feel very present.
Yes.
Very clean.
Yes. Mm. Yes, say more.
I don't really know how to describe it.
Exactly. So we touch that which is indescribable. Somehow we know it, don't we? There's the knowing, it's a profound knowing of the emptiness of self and all things.
Okay.
Hang in. What does that tell you about how to live your life? Having seen the emptiness of this body, every body and everything here,
That's another big question.
I know, like, I'm asking you.
About how to live my life.
What does the emptiness reveal to you? Like the understanding comes, the knowing of the emptiness is there. What does that mean? What's the significance of it? Because that's the important thing.
For me, it's like living in the present, because there's nothing I know about the future.
Yes, so it's the capacity to be with the unknown. We don't know the future, it's unknown.
I still don't get where the love is coming from.
Okay, we're getting there. Stay. Okay. Do you ever feel love?
Yeah.
Can you feel it now?
I don't know.
Try. There's plenty of love in the room if you care to look. Okay, have a look.
Okay. No, that's embarrassing.
Okay.
I can feel love sometimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the I thought goes, oh, I'm embarrassed. Okay. Feel the love again. Drop the I thought. Do it now. Okay. Can you feel love?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have to have any claim on that love? Do you have to say it's yours?
No.
Okay. As simple as that. When we see the emptiness of all things, and we don't cling anywhere inwardly, and we don't cling anywhere outwardly, we understand that there's a particular then wisdom that comes from that. And the wisdom's about how we live our life.
Mm-hmm.
And the wisdom that emerges from the understanding is expressed as love.
So it's actually like a choice. It's not something that exists on its own.
What doesn't exist on its own? Love.
Yeah. Like it's a choice you make.
We
out of wisdom.
It's an expression of the wisdom. When we think about emptiness, if we're just reflecting on it and trying to work it out with our heads, we get stuck in the idea of something absent or vacuous. Emptiness is not that. When we see the emptiness of all things truly, when we truly see it, emptiness is warm.
Emptiness is?
Warm.
Warm?
Warm. It's not separate from love.
Okay. Have to contemplate.
Have to understand more. Stay with your direct experience.
Okay. Thanks.
Let the love in. One more time. Let the love in. Love out. Enough. Thank you. Thank you. One more. Oh gosh. Someone just come. There's an empty cushion. Somebody please come. Yes, why not? Yes.
Hi.
Go for it.
My name is Esther, and my question is about money. Oh. Today we had the money day.
Yes.
Money day.
Yes.
And
the sticky subject of money.
Yes, and you said in the beginning you're almost embarrassed about talking about it, haven't you?
I said I come from a culture where it's taboo to talk about it, and I've have that conditioning from the past, yes.
Yeah.
It's rude to talk about it.
Yes, yes. I'm also coming from a community where it's almost a crime to talk about it.
Oh.
Like, we talk about work, but how much paid is not spoken of.
Okay.
And the thing is that I have a gap between what I know and think and the Dharma says about not clinging to stuff, yeah, money, property,
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that I cling to my money.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Theoretically, I know, blah, blah. But, but when it comes to... When it comes
to giving,
yes,
yes,
then it's not easy,
no,
for me.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, well, anyway, we have a say in Hebrew that when you die in your you will not have pockets,
yes,
to take with you the
exactly.
money.
Exactly.
Kisim batachrichim. Kisim batachrichim.
Yeah. So you can't take your money with you.
Yeah, I know. Where shall I bury it?
And you don't want to give it to me.
So difficult to give. Me.
Yes,
it's
yes.
difficult.
Okay.
First of all, I must confess. Before I came here, I decided how much I want to give.
Yes.
And I was quiet all the week. I knew it's a nice amount, I'm going to give it, and it set me free, because I remember the first retreat, I blah, 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 how much can I give me? This was that, this was that. Nah, too much, no. So I have a system now. I decide that's what I give, I'm not changing it. And that's,
okay.
So, and then you said, really, I didn't do the process of really going through really deep stuff. I just made it easier for me. But also in my life, I meditate and practice the Dharma for about 5 years or so.
Yes.
And also I'm coming from a very spiritual background. For 22 years, I'm in another
yes. thing. Yes. Okay.
And... I didn't sort out these things with the money. When I have to, it's not Like not long ago, I lent
yes, basically. Learned
A lot of money to a lot of money in my
view. Yeah,
view. Maybe for some of you, it's not a lot. And the person asked me the money, and it's my sister, not a person, my sister.
Okay.
And she said, in 2 months we give it back. 5 months, 5 years passed.
Okay.
And she's not able, they are not able to bring it back, to give it back. And then they after a year or so, they ask for double. And now we are in, now we are in an issue in the family that they ask for a lot of money. And I can give it to them. I can lend it to
because
them.
Because you
can
have
give it.
It
to them. I have it, yes.
Okay.
I don't want to. Because I feel... now, when people here spoke about losing a dear people, if someone tell me, if you don't give your sister the money, she will die, I will give it, of course. But that's not the case. She's not going to die. I mean, we're all going to die. But they spend the money very unwisely. And it makes me angry.
Okay, so
yes.
This is the view.
Yes, they spend the money and then...
So, if
oh,
you...
Oh, she also the legal thing.
I also have a sister.
Okay, enough.
But I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed.
Okay.
Yes.
So
it doesn't work together with my Dharma view, with my other spiritual view. There's a boom here, a
yeah.
clash in myself.
Yes. And very well expressed. So when you go to give, when you actually go to put the money in the Dana box, or when you go to write the check or do the transfer for a friend or a sister, what's the restriction? The restriction. What stops you?
What
yeah.
stops me?
Yeah. There's the view they won't use the money wisely.
Not here. The money that I give here?
Yes.
No, I'm happy to give it. And it is used wisely.
Yes,
that's
used
what
for the Dharma.
Yes, yes, I'm happy. I'm very happy to do that. It makes me happy.
And I don't go and buy a new dress with it.
Sure. No, I trust. That's it. I trust. I it's difficult for me to give money when I don't trust that it's used properly. Actually, I don't want to feel used and abused.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, see, I don't want to be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
And that's exactly what my sister said. You have so much. Just, what's the problem?
Mm.
You can give. Mm. And I gave once and it's not used properly. It was spent very unwisely.
Okay,
and,
so...
That makes me angry.
Yes, I can hear. So, come back to that action of giving. So here, there wasn't a problem.
No, it was happiness.
Okay.
Almost.
What's the difference? Almost.
No, it's a very popular, very photogenic to say it here that it's happiness, but there was a little bit of. Now I discovered it.
Yeah. So there's a bit of stickiness.
Yes.
With the
it's,
money,
yes,
it's sticky.
Yes,
it's
yes.
sticky. There's something about money that's uncomfortable for me too.
Yes.
So, okay.
It's like dirty business.
Okay. So what's the stickiness precisely in you? Even with giving Dana here, what's the stickiness?
Good question. Really, what? I don't know. It's a mystery.
What makes the money yours?
Good question. I want to say I worked for it. I did, but not all of it. A lot of it I got from my partner, which is
he's very
comfortable.
Yes,
but
so.
I was very wise to pick him. I must say something. When we met, my 20 something years ago when relationships start, my friends, women friends said, you have to check what is your arrangement with him. So I went to him and said, you know, we have to check what is the arrangement between us. And he said, it's very simple. I use you, I use you sexually, and you use me sexually and financially. Not just a joke.
Okay.
But he said, like, what's the arrangement?
Okay, what's the arrangement? Yes. So is he quite happy that you married him for his money?
Well, he wasn't so rich when I married him. He's rich because he's happy with me. Really, that's it.
Beautiful. Okay.
And so, we are very rich as far as I'm concerned, but maybe some of you have much more than I do, but my feeling is that we are very rich. Very comfortable, very, very happy. And
rich in love as well.
And I feel I really gained it with a lot of work, a lot of work. I work for professionally, but also I had very difficult relationships before him, and I worked a lot on myself to have good life.
Okay, so the I thought lands on, I worked for it, I worked a lot on myself, I chose wisely. What have you learned here a week about this I thought? What does the I do?
Think.
It thinks, yes. What else does it do? The I has landed.
It's clinging
yes.
to stuff.
Clings to stuff. Clings. So here it is, clinging to the views. I worked for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lots of things contributed to that possibility of you working for it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Can we claim all of that as ours?
No.
No.
I mean, it's mine as a present, but it's not all. Well, I believe in past life, so it might be from other life. But I have a lot of very, very gifted. But some of it is work, and some of it is gifts from the world. From
yes, has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Although I already claimed to it.
Exactly.
Yes, I...
So there are many causes and conditions that have contributed to this fact that you have wealth and money, more than enough to support you.
Yeah.
You also have love, which is beautiful. But can you claim all of that as your own doing?
No.
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 So there is a sense in which the money is not yours, it's just money.
It is just money. Money is nothing, I know that. Money is nothing. You cannot even blow your nose in it because it's nothing. No, you know what I mean? You can't eat it, you can't wear it, you can't blow your nose. Money is nothing. That's why it's everything. Everything can be put on it. Everything can be put on it because it's nothing. It's nothing. Money is nothing. It's just a concept. It's really, I can't eat it. I can't touch. I mean, I touch coins, but money is a tricky issue. Very tricky. Because it's nothing. It's nothing, really. It's just a concept. It's just an agreement between people. That's why I put everything on it. Love, appreciation, prestigious, blah, blah, blah.
There you go again, very quickly claiming it as yours. So, let go of the claim of my money. And then, what is it to give?
Again?
Let go of claiming the money as yours, I work so hard for it, it's mine, I somehow deserve it, and so on. And then, of course, it's difficult to give.
Yes.
Because you have all these views that it's yours. So, what are you going to do to release the difficulty? You've just seen and heard that there's been a whole lot of causes and conditions that have contributed to the circumstance in which you find yourself.
I think what can I do? I can give more. But I'll talk to you later.
One more? Yes? Yes? Who's going to do it? Okay. Somebody come. I'm not choosing. Somebody come. Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. I'm
up here and speechless.
Yeah. I was speechless this whole week. Okay. It's going to take me some time to
yes,
sharpen my question. But I think it's something about this method of it's my first time.
Oh, okay.
And it was a lot of things. I think something like I think my question is what is that? I'm not sure what happened this week. I mean, what happened? It could be nothing.
Yes.
It could be nothing. I mean,
okay.
I will go home tomorrow and everything will be, I mean, it will take me a few days to get used back to the phone and to life, mm-hmm. but...
So what did you experience and understand during the week?
You're leading the witness, so I'm going to feel stupid in the end of this conversation, but something with... I was looking, observing,
yes.
I think, maybe it's a better word, on my feelings and my thought, and I could, I had like a lot of thought about the future, and I was of the ego,
mm-hmm.
and it was painful, and I could put it aside.
Yes.
I mean, I could look at it, and mm-hmm. then it just went, it was gone.
Dissolved.
And then there was a pain, like instead of it,
yes,
in the chest, which is also gone, I think, this morning. And that's it.
Okay. And the pain in the chest?
Mm.
Was there anything associated with it?
Associated. I don't know. No.
Can you feel the pain now?
No, I just hide.
Okay.
No. No.
So right now there's no pain in your heart anywhere?
No, just stress in my belly.
Ah, just stress in your belly? Okay, take your attention to the stress in your belly.
Mm.
What do you see and associate with that?
Fear of being on the stage, talking to you.
Okay.
In front of all of these people.
Yes.
Mostly.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you came up?
No.
Okay. So what made you come up?
I want you to tell me that I don't know. I think my ego, definitely my ego.
Okay.
You
want me to tell you what?
And I think it's not about you, it's about me. I need to know it was worth it, like...
That being here for a whole week and sitting with yourself was worth it.
Yeah. Mm.
What did you see and understand about yourself? Other than being nervous when you're up on stage, what have you understood?
That sitting 45 minutes is very difficult for me.
Yes. What else? Did anything touch you? Touch your heart?
Yes, but I don't have words for it.
Ah. Okay. So something has touched your heart this week, but there's no words to describe what occurred.
Yeah, and they can't, like, get to it.
Yes, the words can't get to it completely, yet we can always try.
What touched me?
Yes, what touched you?
First of all, the inquiries, it was amazing.
Yes.
I mean, I feel a lot of love to a lot of people here, like to you and to Amnon.
Yes.
And a lot of people.
Yes.
My partner.
Yes. Ah. Beautiful.
Hey. He knows that, I know that. And
so it sounds like a lot of love to me.
Okay. What I'm asking maybe is, what do I need this meditation for? No. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the method is to sit and to like get inside. And
the method is to sit and to see and know our complete and utter freedom of being.
Mm.
The goal is to free up the life, because when we stop and when we sit, we get to see and understand this movement of the whole world of thought and feelings and how we create the sense of self, the one who wants to know, the one who wants to understand, the one who doubts. Why do we have to sit? We get to see this a little bit in slow motion. Our thoughts generally slow down a little bit, and there's some clarity of seeing. What made you come to the retreat?
I think I want to be more... You talked about it some days ago, in the morning.
What did I say?
Yeah, something about... the ability to be to hold space for myself, for other people, like to maybe the emptiness, something about the emptiness.
Okay. So, has there been any benefit that you can see from your week of sitting with all of us and not only sitting, but sitting and walking and standing and sleeping and sharing time together and eating together. Has there been any benefit that you can see?
Benefits?
Yes.
Mother benefits? Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just a couple.
Mm.
Two things.
Okay.
What's the benefit?
For me, it was, first of all, the ability to have thought about the future and to see them just go away.
Yes.
It was,
so stress about the future ceased.
Yeah, it was amazing for me.
So this would be a wonderful way to live without being stressed about the future.
No.
No?
It would be amazing, but...
Yes, okay. Okay, let's consider it done.
I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, okay.
For now it's amazing.
For now it's amazing, okay.
Yeah.
So that's a benefit. What else? One more thing.
And as a practice, it's amazing. One more thing. I felt I know a lot about the Dharma.
Yes.
And 10 minutes ago, I thought that I'm much more confused about the Dharma.
Yes.
And it's nice. It's good.
Okay. So the eye lands on, I know a lot, and then suddenly we realize we know nothing.
Hmm.
This
yeah.
is the richness and the depth of the Dharma. So, it's your first retreat.
Yes.
You've come, you've been touched by the inquiries, there's been loads of love all around for you. Fear of the future has gone. Wonderful. A great start. A great start.
Oh, cool. That's what I wanted to say. I was leading the witness.
That's why you came up.
Yeah, yeah,
for
I needed the confirmation. Yeah.
For
thank
confirmation
you.
That you're okay and your first retreat is useful, successful, and benefit. So the eye lands on, I want to be a successful meditator. So we began tonight with an expression of sorrow and sadness, yet along with that came the knowing of a love that can never be lost. the love we can touch into is endless. And can be directly known and felt, experienced and expressed. And we heard a wonderful and beautiful exploration. And then another expression of the pain when someone we love dies and we couldn't do anything to prevent that from happening. Yet when we come back and rest in the love, there's just that and our compassionate heart. This is the compassion and the love are the expressions of the understanding. And compassion and love are two of the finest qualities of the human heart. And they're known by everybody in this room. And then we had the question about the source. Is there a source? It's a speculative question. Our concern is the ending of suffering and the direct knowing of the cessation of suffering. And when we really understand this, the expression of that knowing is warm, it's loving, it's kind. It's expressed as kindness and friendship and connection to all beings everywhere. These are the divine qualities of the heart. And we might think that the wisdom teachings are dry sometimes. The Dharma is taught in a rather dry way sometimes. I'm trying to change that. Because I think that if we really understand the Dharma, there's a very natural expression that comes, which comes with lightness, with joy, with compassion, with love, and a steadiness to all of the difficulties that face us. It doesn't mean that life is going to be pleasant all the time. There are always challenges in this life. And I don't know anybody who lives without being challenged. And we need the courage to face the challenges, to see into them, to explore. And when we do, as you've seen in the inquiries over the week, we come through and out the other side, and there's a movement of the heart to freedom. And then we had the exploration of the relationship to money and how we cling and claim something is ours. And even though we have plenty of it, it's still difficult to let go sometimes. And it's a sad thing, really, because there's plenty of money in this world for everybody. Yet, of course, money is an area where there's enormous greed as well. So our relationship to money needs to be explored, and I really applaud you for doing so, and especially with such good humour and lightness. And finally, when we come to our first retreat. Peacock. Oh, the peacock? Ah, over here. Yes, yes, we forgot that one. Thank you. I knew I'd forgotten one. This was another exploration of the emptiness. The emptiness of self and all things. And when we see this, when we really know it, there's a great shift that happens within us. And it changes our relationship, not only to ourselves, but to all things. And this relationship is not one of emptiness in a negative way. Emptiness doesn't mean the absence of. it means empty of intrinsic existence or empty of self-existence. So all things, including us, are empty of existing by themselves because they are all dependent on the causes and conditions. When we're dependent, we can't, by definition, be intrinsically existing by ourselves. So when we can get our head around this logic and understand it, it makes sense. But the more direct way to understand emptiness is through meditation experience. And we can actually see sometimes the emptiness of our feeling world, the emptiness of the self. The emptiness of self is just the beginning of our understanding. When we see the self fall away, and many of you during this retreat have described it, you've actually seen the letting go of clinging to the self. The self dissolves, and in that dissolution, something is revealed. And so we need to see that which is revealed when we no longer cling to self. When we don't get caught up in I making inwardly or I making externally, when the I doesn't cling inwardly and it doesn't cling outwardly, we see the emptiness of all things, the insubstantial nature. The wisdom from this understanding is that we see and understand and know directly the conceptless reality that is indivisible. We stop seeing in terms of self and other. When we stop seeing in terms of self and other, of course, there's great love and a sense of connection, and a desire to harm another doesn't arise, and nor does a desire to harm oneself. This is love. So when we see and understand emptiness, the wisdom from the understanding is expressed as kindness, love, care, friendship, metta. This is the teaching. We know for ourselves that which is unborn. Then our suffering is unborn. And then finally, the fifth one? No, I did the wrong order. Never mind. The fifth one. Five is a lot to remember. Sometimes when we are doing our first retreat, we need some kind of confirmation that what we discovered is okay and how we are is okay. And sometimes the movement from here to there is a little bit about just being up here and then seeing what comes forth. And it was a great joy to see and explore and see that anxiety about the future can disappear and cease. And then, of course, there's love, the love that was so, pardon me, beautifully expressed for all of us here and for your partner. It's a delight. He's teasing. No? You barely know him. It's all right. The person sitting next to him. There's love all around. Love everywhere. It's all right, you'll just see yourself differently. It's okay. So let's just sit together to end our inquiry. Delight to see that there's joy all around. Finally, we came to the joy. I was rather determined about this. Sooner or later, even we can feel joy together. Thank you all for your wonderful inquiries over the days. I very much appreciated the depth of wisdom and the courage to explore and the wonderful intelligence that came forth and all of the wise expressions of the deep knowing. And I think the joy in the room tonight just really, reveals what can happen when we together inquire into what it is to be alive and how to live in a way that's not caught up anywhere. So please remember this evening. It's delightful, fun, joyous, and deep at the same time. I love you all. Thank you.